to God. It's hard to believe that they'd be shouting that one day and turn around during that week and by Friday be yelling, crucify him, kill him. We would rather have a thief and a robber as opposed to him. You know, the intolerance of religion really showed through that week. People never understood what he actually came for. And had they, well, honestly, we ought, if you know anything, you know that if the devil had known what he was doing that week, the trouble he was stirring, he would have never antagonized Judas or the high priests or the scribes and the Pharisees. He would have just let Jesus keep going, and eventually, hopefully, somebody would have stoned him. But that's not what happened. It's hatred, because he knew who he was there, but didn't understand God's will. And you need to understand that about your life. The devil doesn't understand God's will for your life. Things he may do to try to set you up, get you off track, they're not going to succeed unless you let them. I'll get into a message on that one. So how about we don't? Today is war on the floor. If you hadn't remembered, it is. We have prayer lists back there, some up here. Remember, give it to the usher if you need to give us one. Also today is a fellowship with food following the service in the conference center. Smelling delicious. I stepped down behind, out from behind the booth back there, and a waft of food hit me in the face. Yeah. Smells delicious. And in the conference center on the north wall, don't forget there's that spring mural backdrop. Take some pictures. Today's going to be a great opportunity for it. You're going to have somebody else that can run your phone. So you can get pictures as many as you want. And also Friday 407, Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m. For more information, see Robert Cady. And I believe it's Romans 9 now, correct? Yep. And also next Sunday, anybody know what next Sunday is? Resurrection Sunday, amen. It's the day we celebrate that Jesus left that tomb. You know, when we think about, I understand why the cross was used to identify Christians, right? You've heard me talk about this for 20 years. That was the death, the empty tomb. I'm not exactly for sure how you would create an emblem of a hole, an empty hole to boot. So they go to the cross, but it was that empty tomb. There were two thieves crucified with him, but only one of them raised. And that's what we're celebrating next week. So bring your friends, family who don't have a home church to come worship Jesus with us, and this could be their time to receive his love and salvation. So praise God on that. And let's... Yeah, I'll say it wasn't on there.
We have one of those. Anybody would like to take it?
Okay. Okay, they're doing the, what is it called?
Declare and decree.
Declare and decree again. And so we have one. Okay, we have this sheet. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, right? I think it's 10. 10 scriptures for people to read. Aloud, so that we're speaking the word of God all on the same day on April 12th. So if you would like that,
I think they are passages, so it could take you a little time.
Yes.
But whatever part of the day that it works for you is fine. But if you'd like to have this, let me know after service, unless you know right now and you want to throw your hand up, I'll give it to you.
She's going to be declaring the word of God down there at Kroger. You're going to go in and your gas is going to get blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that Palm Sunday had to happen, because we know what happens next week. This side of the cross, this side of the betrayal, this side of the empty tomb, we know what happens. So, Father, we are here in your love. We're here honoring you. I bless now, Father, this tithe and the offering. Lord God, bless it according to your word. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, rebuking the devourer for our sakes. Lord God, opening opportunities where there was no opportunity before. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and Super Kids are dismissed. Well, I tell you what, God is good in all things. Now, not all things are good, are they? Justin bounced his head off the road was not a good thing, but God was good in it. And I tell you, the more we have to talk to medical professionals, people within the insurance world, and they're all in the teachers. And, you know, and they're like, well, how's he doing? And everybody has expected him thus far to be pretty much very hands-off. Don't, you know, he can't leave the house and all this stuff. And I said, well, he drove to school. What? You let him? Yeah, he was cleared. They said there's nothing wrong with his reaction time. There's nothing wrong with his thinking capabilities. Now, I think I shared with you the little joke that Angela and Joshua had come up with about asking him if he'd become a math genius after hitting his head on the road, and he informed them, absolutely not. But I will tell you this, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, he started figuring math or some time problems without looking at the clock. And I'm like, I'm sitting here, and my brain just slipped a few gears trying to just leave an hour early. But I wasn't going into all that. It was just the fact that people are expecting bad things, and God is expecting the good things. We had to tell the other day how we just kept telling other people, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. This is while he's bleeding out of his ear. He's going to be fine. So whatever it is you're going through, start declaring it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. In Jesus' name, it's going to be fine. So this morning, I want us to look at some things. A while back, I started digging into some scripture and looking at scripture. And then the Lord's like, okay, here we go. So and then the scripture list doubles and triples. But one of the things we need to understand is when we ask God for something, he's going to do it. He will answer. Now, here's the problem we don't like to hear is sometimes he says no. Everybody thinks God says yes. You know, if Carter comes up to me and says, Papa, I need your gun, would that not be irresponsible for me to give a four-year-old my loaded gun? Absolutely. He doesn't know anything yet. He still thinks shooting his sister with the squirt gun or shooting Pawpaw with the squirt gun is fun, and it is. Pawpaw thinks it's fun. But he doesn't have in his head the capability yet to understand that that's going to be bad. So we have to understand there's some times God has said no on some things. Well, I didn't hear that. Because we don't hear no, do we, men? We keep pestering. All you women missed a great opportunity. I heard some snickers. But here's the thing. God is a just God. So let's start this morning. We ready to rock? Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. It will be. These are the words of Jesus. Now, in my Bible, when I was studying this, you know how they like to put little titles per section, right? Now, if you're looking in your Bible, how many of you, if you're looking right in, does it have that? Anybody got their Bible up? Okay, what does it say? Okay, yours is different. Mine said, keep asking. The word keep is nowhere on this subject. However, what they're meaning, and because I've heard this message taught, you just keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. Let me ask you this. When your kids are little and they just keep asking, keep asking, you got little kids and they're in the perfect age group. They don't stop. And you know there's a time that it's coming. But yet, they keep asking. Now, a couple weeks ago, I did kind of, it wasn't an intentional setup for Joshua and Tony, but I was excited. I'd got Carter and I tickets to see the monster trucks. And I told him, we're going to go see the monster trucks 2 weeks early. Part of me knew what I did, but the other part was so excited, I didn't care. Except for when he kept coming, Papa, when we go see monster trucks. Not yet, buddy. But then Tony did something pretty smart with it. She turned it into teaching him about counting down. How many more days? 3. And he actually does it like Pawpaw does. 3 days. How many days, Carter? 2. So he had to learn to go from 2 weeks. Okay, we got 2 weekends. That was a hard shift for him. But he still asked. And whenever he'd asked, she would say, how many more days? How many more weeks? And so he did that. Now, I'll try not to do it intentionally because I know what it was like. Boy, I ain't going to go if you don't stop asking. So Jesus is teaching us. So he said, ask and it will be given to you. Now we need, again, keep in mind, not everything is in God's will for us. God, I need 10 wives. Why on earth do you need 10 wives? One is plenty. Hush, peanut gallery. One to do the cooking, one to do the cleaning. Yeah. Shall we call her Alice? Seek, and you will find. What kind of things are we supposed to seek? Well, I need to seek success in life. I need to seek finances. No, there's one thing, and that was in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you. Jesus just got through talking about things. God knows you need a new coat. He knows your car needs new tires. He knows you need a new car. And on that subject, you know, I asked God, when I was going over things this morning, and I was like, you know, God, there's some things I remember asking. You know, like, I needed a new car. I needed a set of wheels that weren't going to break down every other week. I grew up that way, you understand? In the fifth grade, we had a 64 and a half Mustang. Would love to have that car right now, but it's gone. But that was in 1980. One or two that we had that car. We had a 66 Falcon. Again, in the middle 80s. So we had a 77 F-150. Again, with 7 of us. And it was a 3-speed to boot. I had grown up with garbage vehicles. We eventually couldn't sit in the bed of the truck because Dad was afraid he'd hit a bump and the bed would be left on the road and we'd be fighting for It was all last man standing on the frame rails. And so he made us ride in a cab, but from that point on, by the way, there's no air conditioning in those trucks back then. They had the wing vents. Man, we had 460. Roll both windows down, open both wing vents, and do 60 miles an hour. And I got tired of asking, God, please hold my car together. This thing's rotting out. And I said, I would so love to have a new car. And God said, who told you you couldn't? Well, you know, the thing is now, Lord, you know, no debt. I understand that. But I also understand, I got sick of bench pressing a transmission every other week. That's not fun. I got to where I could have that transmission out of that truck in 15 minutes. That's how well I knew that. And I'm not joking. I timed it. And those bolts knew my name. They knew my fingerprints. They knew exactly what had to happen. And I said, God, why? And I said, but God, this teaching about debt, it's a sin. God said, did I tell you it was? No. Well, I could see in the word where it says the borrower is servant to the lender. Oh, absolutely. Is it going to cost me my salvation? No. If Navy Federal comes and says, we need you to deny Christ or we're taking your truck, bye-bye, they're never going to ask that. All they want is either their money or the truck in good shape. And I said, God, no, nobody did. He said, good, deal with the problem. I asked him to lead me towards a vehicle. He knew my desire. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, and he will get, Psalm 37:4 says, seek God and he will give you the desires of your heart. That point, I got my Trailblazer. And Miss Brenda had loaned me hers one time. We needed to go out of state, and the car wasn't exactly the most fabulous vehicle. And she's like, here, we don't ever drive this one. So I took it. Man, it was nice. We were comfortable. There was only four of us. We had plenty of room for the luggage. And, you know, we were good. And I was like, I still love the body style. God, this is the color I want. God, this is what I want. I searched and I searched and I found one. And then I found another one. And the other guy just wouldn't come down enough on the price and it had more mileage. And I told him, I said, I've got a decision. And I said, I've got one that I'm on the working with right now. I told him what the price was and the mileage. And then I said, and I've got yours, but you're telling me you can't come down anymore. I said, so I have a decision. He said, no, you don't. Go buy that one. It had half the miles. And so I did. And then we outgrew that one. And we asked God, God, now what? Well, we need this. So we got that. We kept going. Then it got totaled. But then it boiled down to the day, it was like, I have got to have a decent truck that can get from point A to point B safely, and I don't have to come home and fix a blown out brake line because it rusted out. God told me where to go. I pulled in. I'd already called the guy. I said, this is what I'm looking for. I'll be there in a half hour. I showed up, introduced myself to him. He pulls a truck up. Wasn't the color I wanted. But boy, I fell in love with that truck. It was pretty. And it had the tires I wanted. So I had it for 6 years. Then I got this one. I wasn't planning on getting rid of the other one. I said, God, you know, I'm going to have to spend some money to have the rocker panels fixed. God said, go here, look, get online. I got online. I called the guy, said, I'm coming in. Got that thing done in one night. And I love my truck. I enjoy it. But you see, I had created something that did not exist. I took a teaching that somebody, God dealt with somebody else. See, I didn't, it's not like I was going out buying an $80,000 pickup truck, which is not hard to do. Y'all, some of y'all think I'm crazy. You need to sit down, go to GM's website and build your truck. I know a guy just spent $75,000 for a new truck. Looks just like mine, has four-wheel drive just like mine, but it has a few other things that I've determined don't matter to me. But it did to them. It's their call. It's their money. More power to you. I didn't go out and buy a Mercedes S-Class or a G-Wagon. You know, the I don't even know what they'd cost now. If the old ones were $120,000. I'm sure they're knocking on $200,000. Didn't do that. But you see, I asked God. He gave me an answer. I've asked God about other things. He shut the doors. He said no. And I've had to learn to listen for that word no. Because just like mommies and daddies, we don't like to tell our kids no. We want them to have the best, right? We want to give them everything. But in the end, sometimes we have to say no. No, you cannot have my gun. And then when they get a little older, you start teaching them. You start teaching them safety first, before they ever get the gun. And if they can't be trusted with that, then you don't give them the gun. So ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. You're looking for a job. Start knocking on doors. Hello. You've got to knock on the door. If it's closed, it's closed. But you can't sit and say, God, here I am. I need a job. That happens on occasion. Most of the time, God wants you to get out and put a little bit of effort into something. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And let me ask, tell you this, if you're knocking on a door and it ain't opening, it's not your door. Through the years, as we were growing in this church, it's not always been, you know, ebb and flow of people. So that means ebb and flow of finances, which means pastor gets to fast more. No, it just means I just didn't receive pay raises for years. And so during those years, I looked, you can ask Angela, I prepared resumes for government jobs, applied for jobs, and for some reason, they all got shut. I'm like, God, what's going on? You know we gotta be able to make ends meet. It's always a good thing, isn't it not? When you can pay your bills and feed your family. Those are good things. It wasn't like I was asking God for $100,000 a year. I was like, God, I need this end and this end to meet. But those doors kept shutting. They never opened. I didn't call up and say, hey, you know, you posted this job. I'm more than qualified for it. Why didn't you accept it? Why didn't you even at least interview me? Because I tell you right now, I know why. Because God said no. He needed me to trust him a little bit longer. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Maverick comes up to you, and you're eating a donut. Dada, are you going to turn around and give him the stale donut that's sitting on the counter overnight? Or are you going to give him the fresh one you just took out of the box? He's being honest. But you're going to give your kid good things, right? You're not going to intentionally throw him a... Yeah, the dog won't even chew on that. You're going to give your children the good things. And that's what Jesus started trying to say. Understand, is God wants to give you the good things. He doesn't want to give you bad things. But he's also not going to give you a handgun when you're not ready to handle it. I am one of those guys who is a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I'm also a firm believer in getting licensed to carry. I think that, especially concealed. Because here's the problem. All these guys that do open carry, and, oh, it's my constitutional right, they're walking around with 357s, 45s, and some of them even those Smith & Wesson 500s, unlatched. They're not strapped down. I've seen countless videos of people walking up behind somebody, grabbing their gun, and taking off out the door. And talking with my cousin this week, as a police officer, he said, that aggravates. He says, I don't care if you carry. Cover it up. You're carrying a weapon that is unsafe. Anybody can come up and pull it out of your pocket or pull it out of your holster. So God's not going to give you something right away that you're going to get hurt with. I prayed and prayed and prayed for a woman. I said, God, I you know my heart. I don't want to date a bunch. I'm looking for a godly woman. I'm looking for somebody who is trustworthy, who is faithful. And in that, I'm like, what's going on? You know, oh yeah, so-and-so wants to go out with you. But they got a boyfriend. What's the first problem there? They're not exactly faithful. So when God did bring me a girlfriend, who didn't take me long to realize she was my wife, I had to get in his will first. We'll talk about that more in a minute. There were things I needed to do. Or if he asked for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Again, good things, bad things. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to him who those who ask? He's not going to give you bad things. He's only going to give you good things. He told us in Jeremiah, he says, for I know the future I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. And they're for hope. I know the good things in my heart that I have for you. You just have to trust me. I know Carter, whenever he's rode with me on the lawnmower, he wants to drive. Ever since he could get on there. Now, two of us together ain't going to fit on there anymore. It's a little tight. But he's not big enough to drive that by himself yet. So when the day comes, I'm going to have to trust him. But I'm going to let his daddy do the groundwork on that. It's your faith now. So God's not going to give you things you are not ready for. God, I want a church of 500. That's what I was thinking in the beginning. I want a church of 1,000. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah, my wife's over here. You know what? No, it wouldn't be great. Because here's the unfortunate part. Sometimes things have to start getting compromised. The message is one of them. I told you the other day about you think you want to be a pastor and you think you'd do a great job, and then you realize you got 75 different people in here who have different mindsets on things. Other than your car brand. They got some that think you should be wearing a detergent robe. Others that think, well, you know, I just think you just need to sprinkle us on baptism. Man, I'm going to dunk you just in case. Okay? That's just all there is to it. You're going under. And if I got to do the old washboard thing a couple times, you know, bless God, we'll get her done. But God's going to give you good things. Therefore, this is still part of it. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Start thinking about some things. Do I want people undermining me? Then I ought to quit undermining other people. Do I want to grow? You know how I grew? I had to shut up, sit down, and lose myself. That's how I started growing. And Angela and I were talking about this just the other day about, you know, how long it took. It took the Apostle Paul 8 years before he was actually allowed to preach by blessing of the apostles. 8 years. This man knew the word better than them. He was a lawyer. He represented the law. He knew all of it, forwards, backwards, upside down, and sideways. And yet they said, sit down. You don't know what you're talking about yet. Because here's another thing. Paul liked to argue. He's a lawyer. He likes to debate. He even did it. We talked about the city the other day. The Acropolis. Let's talk about this unknown God. He wanted to debate them. And they took, because that's what those guys did. He was able to reach them. Peter would have never got near them. Because he couldn't. But the people that Peter was being able to get to, Paul was trying to bring his own way in. And they're like, whoa, you need to understand something. But then Paul turns around. He writes 13 letters to the church. And if I remember all my history, and that most of these letters were written within about a 10-year window that we have in the Bible. He preached for a little bit longer than that. He got saved at about 35, and he was beheaded right around 65 A.D., so 30 years. And he only wrote 13 letters? No. These were the mature writings of the Apostle Paul, who started understanding God's grace, God's mercy. That God wasn't waiting up there with a ball bat for you to mess up. But he was also trying to get people to understand, don't worry about some of this other stuff. Jesus was teaching us this. Treat people how you want to be treated in all things. So start thinking about it. Think about your boss. Be a good employee, and if your boss gets to where he can no longer recognize you as a good employee, and you start feeling that draw to leave, knock on another door. Knock on another door. All right. Okay. James 4:3. So why don't I have things? I've asked God for things. Anybody ask God for things? I ask God for things. We all should. We're allowed to. But here's what James had to say. By the way, James was the brother of Jesus. A lot of people like to, oh, he didn't have any siblings. Mary remained a virgin the rest of her life. Yeah. No, she didn't. Joseph had other children with her. And James was one of them. James is also believed to have been the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. And this is what James wrote. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. You're asking wrong because you want to go spend it on all your pleasures. Lord, I need $100 million. Okay. At $100 million, does God, have you been given a $100 million vision for missions, for ministry? You can give to your life. I'm just saying, God does not want you to be paupers. I get no glory in my children's suffering. God doesn't either. But God will withhold until you grab hold of it. Till you understand, first off, the tithe belongs to Him, not you, not me. And then, I got to pay my bills first. Do you know that I knew a guy, and probably a few others, they tithed, that belongs to God. Now that I've tithed, the 90% is whatever I want to do with it. God will pay my bills. You know how that worked out? Lost his house. Wrong belief. By the way, you can't just go out and smoke something in the shed and come out and start saying, hey, this is what I believe now. Read your Bible. Study. It's why Paul told Timothy to study. To show yourself approved. Before you start opening your mouth, you need to have an idea what you're talking about. I got shared the other day. I wouldn't tell Mr. Richard how to drive a semi. Listen, I can move it across a lot. But when it comes to driving 80,000 pounds down the road, I drove 60,000 on a straight truck. Severely overloaded. But he won't drive it down the road overload because his brakes won't take it. He knows that. I hit 15 miles an hour. That was as fast as I could go. So we're talking totally different experiences. But neither has he got the experience I have here. Well, I think you need to do this. Let me tell you how that's going to go over. I tried it. It don't go over well. Well, you just need to be the authority. I am the authority. You don't want to try it. Been there, done that. Got a few scars to prove it. So James is telling us we don't have things because we're asking wrongly. Okay? God, I need a Ferrari. You know, I wouldn't mind a Ferrari, but I don't want a 458. I want a 308. Magnum PI car. Not the new Magnum. That's the 458. I want the old one. It's controllable. We did one of those simulators up at the Henry Ford Museum. You can drive any car you want, and the computer's designed to adjust to whatever car you're driving. It's like, I paid a few pennies to do this, too. I was like, I don't get to do this. I'm on vacation. I'm spending the money, and I did. Do you know how many times I wrecked that Lambo? 900 horsepower. Go around a curve. Nuts. Like, I'm a good driver. And this is exactly what they train race car drivers on. It was the same setup. It's like, yeah, I am but a child trying to drive a man's car. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We talked about this the other night in the Bible study, because this is an 8. We know God will work out things to those who loved him, and they are called to do good, and they're called, but they're doing this according to his purpose. His will is what the purpose means. His will, not your will, not my will, God's will. Well, why did this happen? I don't know. You might not know for 10 years why that happened. This is where you have to trust God that good will come of it. Why did I get hurt? I don't know. Trust God and learn. There will come, because it says, he causes those things to work together for good. We have to trust him and have patience in this. So when I said that when I got a wife, because I got a job, I joined the Marines, I mean that. I had to join the Marines first, and then I got her. Because now I'm in the will of God. I had felt the calling to do that for 2 years. And just never. I'm like, God, you know, I got a job building fence in the middle of the winter. 2 degrees above zero, and you're out there trying to drive oak boards into locust posts before the advent of battery-powered drills. And you had to use a 3-pound sledge to drive the stupid nails. It was cold. It was miserable. But even that job disappeared. Baling hay in the summer, it goes away. Other jobs that I did, they just went away. I'm like, what is going on here? I feel like I finally get up and I'm starting to jog, and then all of a sudden, wham, here come a car. Took my legs out. However, the whirlwind that ended up becoming my life that month, I finally decided I'm going to see what I can do. After that, we found out what I could do. I do solemnly swear to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States. Best thing I ever did. Why? Because my wife came out of that decision. That's why. And we've been together for 34 years. So just because you think you know where you're going, I was going to be an electrician. You know, I was going to climb poles. I really didn't want to do towers. I'm not afraid of heights, but boy, when things start moving, I get sick. Yeah, I don't think so. So we have to be called, we have to be doing what we're supposed to according to his purpose. Why? Because God saw in my lifetime that words that he had sent years before had to come pass. So I wasn't going to get to hear unless I did this road. God did it, I changed. Now, I learned a lot in the Marine Corps, and I thought what I learned was, you know, about authority and about leadership and all, and a few things about warfare. None of that is exactly what God sent me there to learn. God sent me there so that through all that, one, I'd hit bottom, come to the end of myself. It's why I went to the jungle instead of the desert. So I'd hit bottom, come to the end of myself, give my heart to Him fully. That's the day I consider I got saved. I said a prayer when I was 8. I gave myself to Him willingly, understanding what I was doing. But then come full circle around, married and all this stuff. And it wasn't until a while back that I realized, okay, all that, the whole Marine Corps thing had more to do with getting me to the pastor that I needed to be with at that time, who taught me to forgive people. And even after that, it took me 10 years of hearing that message. I thought I'd forgave them. And then I'd think about it, and I'd want to rip their lips off. And I'm like, God. And it's not saying that the devil doesn't bring it back. He wants to stir up those old feelings. Hey, you need to remember how bad they hurt you. Yeah, what they did stunk. But you know what? You are God. And as much as I wanted you to come in and just slap them around a bunch, it didn't happen. They did pay prices, everybody involved. They had prices to pay. But in the end, I now know what I should have been praying for was mercy. I didn't know that then. Because I'm going to tell you right now, praying mercy for somebody who has spitefully hurt you, used you, is a rough lesson. Because like I said, I really wanted to rip their lips off. So we have to be called in God's will on what we're supposed to be doing. You can't be doing what your mommy and daddy think you need to be doing, young people. You need to be doing what you are supposed to be doing. My dad wanted me to follow his footsteps, so I was going to do that. He had me the job lined up. Very next day, the day I was supposed to start to work, they called him and said, "Don't bring him." You need to understand, I was a shoe-in on this job. It was a union job. My great uncle, or my dad's cousin, was the union rep, the union boss. I was good to go. Didn't happen. God shut the doors. Every other job I tried to get, the door shut. I had a job at Worthington Cylinders down there in Columbus. Like, they called me, I was like, "Whoa, got a job." You know what happened the day before? My truck blew up the day before they called me. I couldn't go to Worthington. Wasn't going to get a job there. It wasn't until I quit fighting and getting my will that God started opening the doors, showing me His will. So, now here's another passage. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. This is one that is often twisted, and I'll show you why. Then He spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. When you ask God something, you got to hold on to that. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me." Now, we don't have that relations. But what we do have is everybody in here has had a kid. "Daddy, when are we going to do this? Daddy, when are we going to do this? When are we going to do this? When are we going to do this? Papa, when are we going to see monster trucks? Papa, when are we going to see monster trucks? Papa, when are we going to see monster trucks?" 2 days. He did that to me 5 times in a row. I mean, it was just boom, boom. Boy, 2 days. See, we're called to be childlike, but not childish. Childlike means we have faith because you're my daddy. My daddy's not going to hurt me. Okay, now I get it. There are some daddies who have. You need to be praying for mercy for them. And by the way, when you start praying for mercy for those who have hurt you, you might find out why. There's a saying you can live by: hurting people hurt people. There's a reason. It's not an excuse, but it is the reason. It shouldn't have ever happened, but they did what they did. So she's wearying me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. I don't fear God. I respect the opinion of no man. And this woman is driving me bonkers. That's the only reason he did it. Was because she was driving him nuts. Not because he cared about justice, but because he was tired of hearing her outside his window. Y'all remember, most of you, if you haven't seen it, you still got to see it, The Count of Monte Cristo. When he's locked up, he's beating on the door. What's my crime? What's my crime? And he started carving in the wall, God will give me justice. Following in on somebody else's. And he keeps, every time they'd come, what's my crime? What's my crime? He wanted justice. And over 13 years, he had finally given up. He'd given up any hope. I think what happened, what should show there is he got to the end of himself. Because you know what God sent him? A preacher. It was a preacher that crawled up through the hole in the floor. He called him priest. And it was through that priest that he learned hand-to-hand. He learned literature. He learned how to do math. He learned how to do finances. And then after, if you've not watched the movie, after the priest is dying, he said, here's one more lesson. Anyhow, I won't go down that road on that lesson. That's another message. But in all that, he learned where the finances were. He learned where the great treasure lie. And when he got out, he had to figure out how to get out. He got out, boom, 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 and became one of the wealthiest men, at least in Europe. But you see, God did give him justice. He was able to turn things around. And even though he set things up, God still had to get him from here to here so that all the other good things could happen. So we have to understand that the judge did not do it because he cared about justice. He only cared about that pesky little sound in his ear every morning. Give me justice! Give me justice! As she beat on his door. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night before him, though he bears long with him? The word bears long with him, this means it's long patience. In the Greek, it actually means long wrath. He's putting up with us when we act like children. You need to understand that. Just like Carter asked, Papa, we go see monster trucks. Papa, we go see monster trucks. Papa, we go see monster trucks. The first time, okay, I answered it. But when he continually asked me, instead of taking my word for it, I had to put up with him a little bit. And then I just gave him an answer that hopefully was able to set him aside. I said, we won't worry about that now. So if you're asking God, why hasn't this happened yet? Why hasn't this happened yet? Why hasn't this happened yet? Shut up. Maybe he needs to tell you something. He's got something to tell you. It's not time yet. Why don't I have kids yet? Why don't I have kids yet? Maybe there's some things that need to happen in you. I look back, even at 25, I ask, God, you really trust me with these kids? I mean, really? Seriously? This dude, he can't do anything on his own except poop and pee. And then the next one. By the time the third one came around, oh, you're in God's hands, man. Which is why the night we got the phone call that he'd been in that accident, we said, God has him. He will be fine. I could tell by the voice, it wasn't a broken arm or a leg. She's thinking, okay, we just got a little something we got to go, and she wanted to get there. And I could just tell by the quivering in Mike's voice, it was worse. And it was. It was very worse. But our faith was not in medicine. Because honestly, there wasn't nothing medicine could do right then. Look, we could open him up and relieve the pressure, yeah. He's not got any brain damage. None. The other day he started talking about, there's a song by The Showdown called Temptation Come My Way. It's got a wicked drum lick in it. I mean, it starts off with it. He's been working and working and working on that. And the other day he just sat down, started playing it. He's like, I can play that. I couldn't play that. I said, well, we'll just have to see what God's will is for your future. Maybe God's going to make you a drummer. Maybe you need to be able to do this stuff. Honestly, he was the last one I thought was going to be interested in music. And here he is. So even though God bears long with them, he's still going to do good. He will avenge us. He will answer us. He will open the doors. We just need to make sure it's the right door. You know, we need to make sure it's the right time to knock on the door. You come beating on my door at 2 in the morning, there's two things you're going to be met with. A black dog and a homeowner with a loaded gun. Just like the cop that came to my door at about 2 in the morning. Because Jesse rolled over on his phone and called 911. Asleep. I said, hang on a second. I can see his hat. And I said, hang on a second. Put the dog and my gun away. He's like, no problem. I'll stay out here. I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? He's asking, will I actually find you believing what I said? When I said I would do it, I said and meant I will do it. It may not be in my time. Boy, I wanted a girlfriend at 16. I was knocking on 19. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? I wanted a car. I'd been given, my grandpa gave me a truck. It didn't last long. That's when the engine blew up. It was a 71 Datsun. I literally could sit in the driver's seat and reach over and lock the door on the other side. Kind of wish I had that truck now. They're worth a little bit because it was solid. But then my next car had a hole, or my first had a hole that big in the engine block. But then my car after that was a 79 Celica. Right-hand drive, 5-speed, 6-cylinder. Almost got me in trouble a few times. That was my car in Japan. And then God just kept moving. I got a Firebird, similar to Rob's, except I think yours was silver, right? Close enough, yeah, silverish gray. Mine was copper. And my wife called it my redneck mobile because I had the big tire sticking out the back. It had the louver going down the back glass. You know, the hood supports were shot. The rear supports were shot. Steering was shot. Transmission was slipping. But it was mine. And honestly, probably shouldn't have bought it. Should have just waited on God. Will he really find faith on earth? God, when are my children going to get saved? In his time. They haven't hit the end of their, they haven't hit the bottom yet. Sometimes you got to hit bottom. You got to come to the end of yourself. You got to realize, I did this. I'm here. I made the decisions. I did it. I know why I did it, but I still did it. And that's where I had to get to. I did this. Modern Freudianism tells you, blame your parents. And they may be the reasons. Listen, people have gotten messed up through the years, through all the wars. It's either 13 or 17 years that this country has not had a war going on. In 247 years, we've always had a battle. We got Nicaragua in the early 1900s, and that was before World War I. We were involved in all kinds of things. The 80s, we had a few. Well, they weren't 10-year wars. They weren't Vietnam, but they were still wars. So we have not really known peace. And in all these, World War I, World War II, and Vietnam, and Korea, those were all pretty much back to back to back to back. How many men and fathers did we lose? How many children had to be raised without ever knowing their father? So we got a generation that had no idea how to. Their father was dead. And mamas, they do their best. But you're not fathers. There is another connection. I'm not a mother. I can't give that motherly advice. You can ask my children. I'm not the, come here. I mean, if they need a shoulder, they've got it. But I trained them to be how I knew to be. Sometimes you just got to suck it up and take it on the chin. So when we ask God things, we don't need to repeat them over and over and over and over and over and over. God, you promised! His memory isn't failing him. I remember the day I told God, I said, you know what? I'm driving down the road, just got off the phone with her, and she's like, honey, we're just a little short. We're going to be a little tight this month. And I'm like, working my butt off, trying to start the church. And I said, God, I tithe. And you said you rebuked the devourer for me. What's going on? And clear as day, God said, how can I rebuke the devourer when you are the devourer? Okay. I get it. God was telling me, quit spending so much. Get my finances under control. That's what he was telling me. And no, I wasn't living La Vida Loca. We had one vehicle, my work truck. My business truck, and that was it. What God has been trying to get us to understand is we have got to find our faith. God, you promised me this. You know, you two ladies, I told you the year before, you will be mothers. That wasn't me, that was God. Now, both of them, there were some circumstances that were beyond their controls. But your little boy can run. The devil tried to stop it. Club feet, he's never. And he spent longer in the cast than you thought, right? I thought it was only a short amount of time, and it was like, oh, he's still in him. What's going on? Kept going. He's going to be good. Because God's good. Because it wasn't me that told him that. It was God that told them that. Okay, it was just a mouthpiece. Well, God, you promised. Absolutely. When God promises, you hold on to that faith. You hold on to that. It doesn't mean you don't go and say, Lord, I don't understand. It just means you going out there and you're saying, okay, God, you gave me this son. You aren't going to take him away. And that, unfortunately, was not my first fight for one of my children. Actually, it was all three. So, when I tell you, trust God, do not act like a child and keep coming to him every time you pray if you aren't going to get off your butt. God, I want this. Well, go do that. I want to be a doctor, but I don't want to go to school for it. That ain't how this works. The only thing you can do that with is religion. I could get a doctorate. They're not that hard to get. I don't want one because something happens after you put the initials in front of your name. Don't care. I'm here to tell you, I've been down this road, and God will answer. And sometimes God has said no. And if God says no, you need to shut up and start thanking him for things. Oh, by the way, he said when you receive, he said he who asks receives, start thanking him. Lord, I thank you for my wife. You know, we were just talking the other day because, you know, we hit 32 years in marriage. And I said, you know, I said, through some of the stuff we've been through, I said, anytime I've ever thought, you know, would it be easier being single? I told her, I said, I can't imagine my life without you. I said, I wouldn't want to imagine my life without you because it would suck. There's nobody that could take her place. And she said the same thing. There's nobody that could take her place. You guys, what, six? What is it now, 60? 65. Nobody could take the place. Nobody else could take their place. I wouldn't want to imagine it. So you need to understand. You got to start thanking God. Well, my marriage is just a little rough. Start thanking God for your spouse. Start thanking God for the good attributes. By the way, as much as she'll say, oh, but you're this, this, and this, and we get talking about, you know, I know my bad attributes. Every last one of you should know your bad attributes. Because they're usually the ones the Holy Spirit's convicting you about. But sometimes God uses what we consider to be bad attributes. Well, you're opinionated. Well, I kind of have to be. You know how many churches I've watched since I was 8 get steamrolled by spiritual people? Because, well, you need to be humble. And I've been in churches where people said, you need to do this because I said. You need to wear a tie all the time. That was so stupid. I don't like always having it. I mean, next week I got a tie. I got a brand new tie. I got a brand new suit, ladies and gentlemen. I had to go buy a new suit. But in all that, we have to continue to trust God. And even on the prayer requests we're about to pray for, we need to trust God in them. Healing. You need to start, if we're praying for you, you need to confess it. You need to start confessing your healing. Lord, I thank you, I'm healed. If you're believing healing for somebody else, start thanking God for their healing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, and here's why. I want you to start thanking him instead of complaining. When you start complaining about things, you tie God's hands. Because remember the children of Israel? For 40 years, he took care of them. Bob, do you have any shoes that are 40 years old?
Sometimes they feel that.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, so no, he doesn't. Because they wear out. And you replace them, right? Israel did not. For 40 years, they wore the same sandals. Because God kept them preserved. They were in judgment. And yet God still looked out for them. They never went without food. They were in judgment. God still had his hand there. So we need to understand, God is not looking to keep punishing you. But if you feel like you just keep bumping against a wall, it's because you're in rebellion somewhere. And I use the word rebellion because I was rebelling against the will of God calling me to go here. Because I told her the other day when I got, or a while back when I got that revelation, I was supposed to have gone before and I didn't. I said, what would have happened is you wouldn't have had to dealt with some of me. God would have already had me there. God would have had, although he'd had to have done some things different because I went down and found out that there were some bad things that had happened at that church we found out this year that happened just before I got there. And God kept me from it because they were some of the things that would have solidified the unbelief in my heart. And I didn't need to see that. And even to this day, I look down there and I talk, I'm amazed at God's mercy and grace. Now, they didn't keep tolerating the treatment and the sin, but they have forgiven each other. So...